There are reasons why there are people in jail tonight. There are reasons why there are people in mental hospitals tonight. There are reasons why people are on drugs, why young people take drugs. There are reasons for that. All the same reason. There are reasons for sexual perversion. There are reasons for it. And most always the same reason for every one of those things. And we can talk about the wickedness and the evil of sexual promiscuity, and it is a very serious sin to God. It's a very serious sin in the Bible. We could talk about youthful rebellion. That's a serious thing in our land. It's even a serious thing in our churches. We could talk about the wrong use of electronic equipment and the evil things that can be obtained there. And that is a serious problem. It'd be worthy of discussion. But there's a reason. I'd like to get to the reason tonight. I told you last evening I was going to try to minister to you, at least for the next two nights, and that includes tonight. And if I have shared these thoughts someplace before, it's only because I sense after being here this week that's necessary here. And not only for the students in the Bible school, it's not only necessary for them. It's necessary for more of us. I want to speak about God tonight, but I want to speak about Him in a way that we don't always think about Him. My oldest daughter told me that of all the sermons she's heard her daddy preach, which is very, very many, she told me that this was the favorite theme that she ever heard me speak about. I don't know how my youngest daughter feels. But you see, we have troubles in life in our families. We have troubles in life in our homes. Children have troubles with their daddy and mothers. And because they have those problems with their fathers and mothers, they have trouble all through life. They have trouble with the church. They have trouble with their ministers. They have trouble with authority in their lives. They have trouble in their relationships with God. They have trouble because something is not working in the very, very basic units of life. Something is not working in the home. And then this problem continues right out through life. And some of us have enough of discipline in our lives. Some of us have enough of structure built into us. Some of us have enough of cultural mores built into our constitution that we keep ourselves out of jail. We keep ourselves away from the needles and away from smoking pot. We keep ourselves away from that. But we're actually living the same conditions of the people that are doing those things. And I would like to just share several texts with you tonight and just talk to your hearts, if I may. I will talk to you about God tonight. And I know we can't see God. I wish I could show you God. I cannot show you God. And one of the problems we have is that when there's a father in the home or a mother who does not portray the character of God, it makes it difficult for us because it was God's will that every father represents himself to his family. It was God's will that every father in every home be like God himself is. And when we don't have that image of a father in our home or a mother in our home, then it's hard for us to understand what God is like because we cannot see God. And our faith is not strong enough to believe what the Bible says about him. And it makes it very difficult for us when we're in a condition like that. And I understand that. I don't blame anybody for that. I certainly don't blame young people for that. But God is spirit. We can't see him. The Bible says God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And yet this God who is spirit has thoughts, and he has longings. He has plans. This God whom we cannot see has feelings, and he sees, and he hears, and he knows, and he understands, and he suffers. And he has an unending and unfailing capacity to love us. And this all pours forth to us and to the earth, to the world, from his Father heart. I want to talk to you about the Father heart of God tonight. A God who suffers, a God who longs, a God who hurts, a Father who suffers when we suffer, who is hurting when we're hurting, a Father in heaven who knows what we're going through, a Father in heaven who is concerned about our lives. Sorrow and love flow mingled down from a holy, holy, holy one. How can a holy Father truly love? How can someone so holy and so far above us and so unlike us and so perfect compared with us, and so unfailing compared with us, how can someone like that love us? And you would think that a God that's so holy, so righteous, so pure, so perfect, you would have to flee from him. He would be unapproachable. You couldn't come close to a God like that. Is it possible to know God, to know his heart? To be able to look up into the face of God and say, Abba, Father. And we use that word Abba much like your little child that you just gave birth to. And that little fellow, I think they said, was about 10 months old. He was sitting there at the table tonight. And a cute little fellow, I forget what they called him. A little round-faced, pudgy little boy, and his mother was holding him, so was his grandmother. And can you imagine this little fellow looking up in the face of his father there from Somersville, Missouri? He looks in the face of his father and he says, Tata. Tata. That's about the same thing as what Abba means when it says Abba Father. And we recognize the face of our father. And that little tiny fella, he doesn't know if his father's angry. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know if his father's cruel. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know if his father will mistreat mother. He does not know it. He does not know the things that fathers do sometimes, so cruel, so ugly to their children, to their wives. He doesn't know it. His little fella's innocent. He does not. But as these children grow up, they find out what we're like. I'm going to show you some texts about God's Father heart. And he had you there in Psalms, and my Bible's still open there, to where he read to us in Psalm 139. So just go to Psalm 103. It's not very far away. Some people close their Bible between every Bible reference. Don't do that. Keep your Bible open and keep it moving. Keep your Bible open and be ready to go. That Bible has God's Word in it. Just keep it open. We'll be using it tonight. And just keep your Bible moving. Keep your Bible going from text to text. I want to read you some verses about the Father heart of God. And we're Psalm 103 tonight. And we're verse 13. And listen to this verse. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. As a father pitieth his children. And you say, my father doesn't have pity. I haven't seen my father pity anything. My father doesn't even pity a German shepherd. He doesn't pity anything. I'm sorry about that. I know their daddy's like that. But that's not the way the Father in heaven is. That's not the way fathers ought to be. Fathers ought to pity their children. Fathers ought to feel for their children. Fathers ought to sense what their children are sensing. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. We can't take too much time with these verses or we'll be here a long time. But they're beautiful verses. I just want to fill your heart with these verses. I want to feed your heart with these verses. I want to bless your heart with these verses. Proverbs 3, verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Can you imagine a father correcting his son? And can you imagine his father correcting his son not because he's angry? Imagine his father correcting his son not because the son shamed him. And the Sunday school class shamed him in the church service, shamed him in the youth group, shamed him, and that the father was embarrassed. The father was upset, so he corrected the child. But that's not what it says here. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And our children can tell that. There's no problem for our children to tell that. Verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. That's a beautiful thought there. Good Isaiah chapter 63. Just a few verses here that speak of the father heart of God, what the father's heart is like, what his heart looks like. How we can identify his heart and come to know the heart of the Father. And in Isaiah 63 now, verses 7 through 9, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. I want you to notice the beginning of verse 9. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Can you imagine the Heavenly Father, creator of that full moon that's out there tonight over this Missouri countryside and shining down here upon this land? And he's a creator of that, and he's afflicted when we are afflicted. And one who has all this stuff to tend, and he has that Venus to put sometimes in the morning sky, and sometimes he's got to put it in the evening sky, and he's got to get Orion to go the whole way across there, and his belt never comes open to his three stars in that belt, and his sword is always sticking down the side of that belt, and he's taking care of that every day, and it never moves from his constellation, from his pattern. It does the same. God's taking care of that. And here you are, you're his child, and you're afflicted and suffering, and God is afflicted. When you're afflicted, he's afflicted. You're feeling it, he's feeling it. And I remember the time when one of our sons drove a tractor tire over the foot of one of our other children and broke his foot at several places. And I didn't have money to take the boy to the emergency room to get it fixed. And I knew where there was a bone surgeon. And I took him to his office. And he said to me, Mr. Heise, if you help me, we can take care of this in my office without going into the hospital. But he said, you'll have to help me. He told me that he's going to take hold of that foot. And he's going to pull his bones into place in that foot. And I'm supposed to hold the leg of my son and hold it real still so he can pull his bones into place in that broken foot. And my son was 14 years old. And he got a hold of that foot and started pulling that foot. And I was holding the leg of Gabriel's leg. I felt his body twitching. I felt his muscles pulling tight. I just felt him twitching his body all over. He never said a word. But he was in intense pain that you can hardly believe. And I felt everything that my son felt. Everything he felt, I felt it. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that love him? If an earthly father cares like that, if an earthly father can feel that, what does God feel when his children are suffering? I don't know if I should tell this story, Loretta, or not, but Loretta would try and get a driver's license in Costa Rica. Is it okay if I tell this to Loretta? Thank you. Thank you, girlie. And you have to bring your own car in, and you must drive that car. And the policeman goes with you, and he sees if you're doing okay. And so I sent her off with that. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And it seemed like she was in there an awful long time. I couldn't go in with her. And when she came out of the building, when she came out of there, she had a folder with papers in it. And she came out of that building like this. And I knew what that meant. She didn't want other people to see that she was crying. And I knew that something happened. What would you have done? That was my daughter, and she was hurting. And here, they wouldn't let her take her test because this car she brought in there had an automatic transmission. And it had to be a straight stick, or they wouldn't let you take the test with it. And she would have done just as well with a straight stick, but we didn't know it. And so she failed the thing, and she had to make all her deposits at the bank again and do all the paperwork all over again, start the thing all over again, because it's the same as if she failed the test, and she didn't fail anything. It's just that they wouldn't accept the car. We didn't know it. A few months after that, they changed the rules, and now you can get a license with an automatic transmission. But that day, they sent her out, and it was hard on Loretta. You know what? It was harder on me. It was my fault. I gave her the car to use. And blessed be the child who can see daddy and mother hurting when they're hurting. Blessed be the Christian that knows that the Father in heaven is suffering when you're suffering. Blessed is the person that knows that as the Father seeth me, he loveth me, and he understands me, and cares for me, and suffers with me. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. That's what the Bible says. I know it's true. I've experienced it. I know it's true. But the people rebelled against God. It says in verse 10. I didn't read that to you. I'm sorry, but the people rebelled against him. Verse 16 of that same chapter, if you will. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Chapter 64, again here, verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our father. We are the clay. Thou art our potter. We are all the work of thy hand. Think about that. In the thoughts of the Father, what does the Father think? What comes out of the Father heart of God? What are the thoughts that he thinks? And he had us there in Psalm 139. Would you go back there again? Psalm 139. What does this Father think? This Father who loves us, cares for us, understands us, is afflicted when we're afflicted, pities us, is interested in us, wants to provide for us, wants the best for us. What does this Father think? Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God thinking about us. His holy mind thinking thoughts about us. Thoughts about us that we cannot count. Thoughts about us that are innumerable. Thoughts that he has about us. And again, and my wife's not here to correct me, so I don't tell you too many stories. But the thoughts of God, and I can tell you things that God did. I can tell you things that God has done in my life, and you can think of things God has done in your life. And for God to have done those things in your life that he did, how many thoughts did he have to think to do in your life what he did in your life? How many thoughts did he have to think? I'll just give you one story. That we'll be at this all night. And you're supposed to be finished by 9 o'clock. But over in England, there was an invalid lady lying in bed. She was unable to move. She laid in bed. She couldn't go to church. She lived with her sister. They were both maiden ladies. Her sister was healthy, able, could get around, took care of the needs of the house. She went to the church service. The other laid in bed. The one laid in bed, she prayed. The one that went around doing her business, she got it done. And so the household functioned. One's in the bed, the other one's able to do the things. The one in the bed got a hold of some kind of a paper, got a hold of some kind of a news clip, got a hold of something and found out that there's a preacher in the United States of America near Chicago, Illinois. And this preacher, she found out, is an interesting preacher. He's a good preacher. And she didn't know who it was, but she began to pray in that bed that this preacher would come to England. She began to pray that this preacher would come to her congregation, though she could not attend service. And God heard that prayer. And here's what God did about that prayer. You think about the thoughts of God. How many thoughts did God have to think out of his father's heart to do what he did next? Over in Chicago, Mrs. Leary is out there milking her cow. And she has a lantern hanging up here. And as she was done milking this cow, the cow kicked the wall and the lantern fell down. The lantern fell down and started some straw on fire. The straw on fire got picked up by some wind and started burning burning this stable. The fire spread down through the city of Chicago, burned down Dwight Moody's church house. Thousands of people fled across the bridge to get out of Chicago that day. Dwight Moody's usually a pretty spunky fella, but he was discouraged. And he did not know what to do. And someone suggested, why don't you get on a ship? And go to a foreign country, just get away for a while. You need a rest. He bought a ticket and went to England. The old lady is lying in her bed praying. The other sister came up from church. Anything happened different in church this morning? No, same old deacon prayed the same old prayer. No, nothing happened in church this morning. But didn't something special happen in church this morning? No, except when they made the announcements, they said that D.L. Moody's going to preach here tonight. They said that they have a visitor here, and D.L. Moody's going to preach in our church tonight. And the lady in the bed said to her sister, don't bring me any dinner. I can't eat today. Don't bring me any dinner. So she prayed. And invited me to preach in our church that night. He preached in that church for several weeks. There was a tremendous revival in that church. How many thoughts did God think to get that to happen? How many things did he have to arrange to make all that take place? Sometimes we think there are calamities in life. Sometimes we think that there are great difficulties happen. Sometimes we think there are great losses. Sometimes we think terrible things are taking place. And then God has tremendous plans in mind. He has holy thoughts in mind. By the way, Dwight Moody got his church rebuilt. It was bigger when he was done than it was the first time. That turned out all right. God took care of that too. He knew how to take care of that. What are his thoughts like? Psalm chapter 40, or Psalm 40. They're not any chapters in Psalms, that they are Psalms, not chapters. But Psalm 40. Verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Isaiah 55. Please don't mind turning to these verses. They will do you good. These verses are health and strength to you. Isaiah 55, verses 7 through 9. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Jeremiah 29. The thoughts of God. The thoughts that come out of the Father, heart of God. What are those thoughts? Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and I shall go and pray, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, holy thoughts, beautiful thoughts. And the thought of the heart of God feels The heart of God grieves. The Bible says back there, way back in Genesis, the very, very first book in the Bible, when he saw the wickedness of men, it said it grieved the heart of God. Can you imagine a creator God being grieved because some creature that he created is doing some wrong thing and the heart of God grieves about it? It grieved God at his heart. The heart of God suffers. He tells us that in Genesis chapter 8. God has a heart. And one day God wanted a person. He wanted to find a person. Looked around all the earth to try to find a person. He tried to find one person. Lock onto himself. And the Bible tells us there that he was seeking for a man that was after his own heart. According to his own heart. He wanted to find someone who had a heart like his heart. And he found David. When he found someone who had a heart like his heart. And I want to tell you what that means. When God was looking for someone who had a heart like unto his heart. And I want to read to you what the Bible says about that. Listen to this verse. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God found someone like that, after his own heart. But what's the father heart of God towards me tonight? And you? Let's go to John 14. Keep on traveling here. Verses 21 to 23. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, this was the other Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Father will find that person and come and dwell within that person. And Jesus knew that he was loved of the Father. And we know that God had reason to love his Son. His only begotten Son. His perfectly obedient Son. His own creation. His own divine nature. His own person. His own image. They were one. Jesus said, I do only those things that please the Father. But none of us can say that. We have failed God. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have come short of the glory of God. We have done our own thing. We have sinned against God. We have ignored God. We have done like Israel did. We have rebelled against God. So we can't say that. How can he love us as he loved his Son? How can he love me like he loved his Son Jesus? We can say tonight, I've not kept his commandments. I've been disobedient. I've been false. I have been full of sin. I have done a lot of things wrong. We sang that in the first song we sang tonight. Do you want to love him? Do you want him to love you? He does. That's John 14. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You see, if you could measure the love that the Father has for Christ, that is the love that Christ has for us. And if you can measure the love that Christ has for us, that is the very measure of love with which we should love him and with which we should love one another. That is the way we should love each other. The way Christ loved us. The way God loved him. We have that in the 13th chapter of John. A new commandment I give unto you, verse 34. That ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall men know that ye are my disciples if ye have loved one to another. Why can't we love each other? I'm going to tell you why. There's only one reason. If you ever hear that Dwayne Schrock and Dale Heise had a fallout. If you ever hear that Dwayne Schrock and I, we split. If you ever hear that we just can't get along, you ever hear that we're finished with each other, if you ever hear that, I'm going to tell you what's wrong. What happened is that I cannot love Brother Dwayne because I've not allowed someone else to love me. I've not allowed God to love me. I'm earning my salvation. I'm earning my respect with God. I'm earning my acceptance. I'm doing so well in my Christian life that I'm measuring up to God. I'm ascending the stairway. I'm going up the top. I'm doing well in my Christian life. And in fact, if this brother Dwayne would be doing like I am, we'd be both up there. But he's faltering by the wayside, and so I'm done with Dwayne. But when I realize that every day I need the love of God in my heart, every day I receive what he's willing to do for me, which receive his kindness towards me, receive his love to me, and I let him take my life and form it and shape it, and I give him the opportunity to make him what he chooses to make in me, and I receive that love, then there's something in here, a capacity in here with which I can love my brother. And I cannot love him when I cannot receive the love of God into my own heart. And God wants to love us. If it would depend on my perfections for him to love me, I would never be loved. If it depended upon my performance, if it depended on all the good things that I have done, I would never be loved. If it depended upon the fact that my record was perfectly right, I never had anything charged up against my record. If that's what depended upon, I can never be loved. If that's what depended upon, I would be lost forever. If that's what depended upon, hell is for me, nothing else. There's no way I can measure up. But God saw me where I was and chose to love me. And one day I had to reach out and say, yes, Father, I receive your love. Yes, Father, I'll take that love. Yes, Father, I need that love. One day I had to do that. And when we do that, something strange happens to us. Some miracle takes place in us. Be interesting to see how well the Father loved the Son. I'm sorry I can't take time to read all these verses to you tonight, but let's go to John 16. It's just so very interesting to see how the Father and the Son worked together, the team that they were, that they did everything together. The Son prayed to the Father, and the Father answered the Son, and the love that was there for each other, it was tremendous what they had, and that's the same love that God wants to show into our own hearts, into our own churches, into our own families, into our wives and our children. John 16, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. That same relationship that Jesus had with the Father, we can have with him. And the Father comes and makes his abode here. God is here. Will you allow God to love you with all his Father heart? You see, that's something we can resist. We can resist that love. I'll tell you why we resist it. We've been mistreated. We've been wronged. We've been falsely accused. We've been shamed. Perhaps our very own parents did that to us. I know what that feels like. I know what that was like. My mother was 90 years old. I want you to pay attention tonight. When she called me on the phone in Costa Rica, she lived in the state of Pennsylvania. She called me on the phone very few times in the 45 years that I was married by that time. Now we're married 47 years. She called me very few times on the phone, but she called me on the phone. I could tell there was a strange tremor in her voice. I could tell that something was not quite right. And she said, Dale, I want to talk to you. It has come to my attention that when you were young, Daddy and I did not treat you right. And I wanted to do something about it. I wanted to ask you to forgive us for what we did. 90 years old. I said, Mother, everything is okay. That's been taken care of long ago. You have nothing to worry about. Mother, you have peace in your heart. There's nothing on the record. Everything is clear. Don't worry about it, Mother. I just wanted to make sure. And I could tell that my mother was anticipating her last day on earth. And she wanted to be sure. To get a phone call like that from your mother, at that age in life. Sometimes parents have done it. If you would respond right to your parents, someday you'll get a phone call like that. You respond right to your father and mother, sometimes something will happen to change that. If you allow God to change your attitude that you have towards those parents that have done those things wrong to you, if you allow God to give you a chance to bless your parents and love your parents and provide for your parents and serve your parents, and just let God give you the opportunity to do that and change those evil thoughts you have, change that whole record of that's written in your mind against your father and mother, and fill up your heart with brand new thoughts and brand new appreciation and brand new experiences with daddy and mother. Then you can receive the Father's love in your life. It'll change you completely. You'll never be the same again. If you allow God to do that in your life. Perhaps it happened by hypocrites in the church. Wolves in sheep's clothing. And so we became angered and provoked to wrath. We became full of bitterness because somebody has sinned against us. Somebody did us wrong. And all this happened to Joseph. A 17-year-old boy treated like an African slave, sold off into slavery. But Joseph didn't become bitter. And he loved the people that did it. And he had God's father heart. And the Lord was with him throughout all that whole experience. And the Lord's going to be with you. No one can mistreat you to the point where you can become bitter to them. No one can mistreat you to the point where you cannot love them anymore. No one can abuse you to the point where you cannot forgive them. You were never nailed to a cross. You never suffered on Calvary. You never had blood flowing down from your hands and your head and your feet. When that boy was in that pit, crying at the top of his voice for someone to get him out of there. At 17 years of age, God heard every cry that came out of that pit. God felt every bit of it. He was hurting and suffering just like Joseph was. God had plans for Joseph. And God, I don't imagine, I can't imagine how God must have had to stay his hand and stand back and watch that and listen to that, because God knew what he was going to do. And as you know the story, you know what God did. God was responsible for none of that hurt in Joseph's life. But all the while, he was doing something very holy about it. He knew exactly where Joseph was going to get to. And in the slave auction, when he was sold, he knew exactly he was going to buy him. And when he went to that home, he knew exactly what was going to take place in that house. God had all those thoughts all arranged. He had 7 years of famine prepared also. But there have been tragedies in your life. There have been death in the family. Separation from our dearest bosom companions. We have been rejected by the very ones that we very much needed in life. The home was split apart. Mother was gone. Daddy could not keep up his end of it. The whole thing's a mess. We have no idea. You say, you have no idea how much I've suffered in my home. You have no idea how much I've been abused, sexually molested in a relative's home. And you tell me I cannot forget about it. And you tell me I cannot forgive it. And you tell me I've been alone ever since, fighting these battles inside my mind, and I have no freedom from it. You say, why didn't God do something about it? If God truly loved me, why wasn't God on the job? Why didn't God stop that man from doing that? Why didn't God save me from that experience if he loved me? My precious child tonight, precious young people that are here, God knows all about it. It was not God that did it. But you cry and say, then why did God allow it then? How much loss and anguish and pain does he think I can stand? How much longer will this continue? How much longer will this go on? How much anguish and pain could God stand? How much hurt and rejection can God feel? I don't know how much he can stand. I know one thing. In my life, he stood a good bit. I know in my life, in my rejection of God, in my walking away from God, in my ignoring God and having nothing to do with God, I know that in my life, he put up with an awful lot. You know, God doesn't only want to save you, my son and my daughter, tonight. Dear young person, dear father and mother here this evening, God doesn't only want to save you. He also wants to save the person that did you wrong. He also wants to save the person that did that terrible damage to your life. He wants to save that person too. He's not only merciful to you, he's merciful to that person. He's not only looking for a chance to change your life, he wants to change that person too. Have you ever heard of Calvary? How much did God stand at Calvary? What was God doing when those nails went into the flesh of his son? And right down through those sinews and out the other side into the wood. And then they jerked him up there and hung him in that cross. How much anguish did God suffer there? You see, all that wrong that's happened to you, all that wrong that happened to Jesus, all the wrong that happened to Joseph only shows us what hate and sin can do. But what can the Father heart do? You see, God does not cause the leprosy, but he will freely cleanse it. God did not inflict demon possession on people, but his love will set the demoniac free. God did not sentence a virgin to a life of prostitution. If he longs to give her a pure heart, he will do it in an instant. He will do it in a moment. God does not incite a destitute man to murder another one, but his love will usher him into paradise when he's dying upon a cross and says, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," and Christ will take him and usher him straight into the gates of glory. That's what Christ will do. Yes, there are homeless children, there are earthquake victims, there are ravaging cancers, there are tragic accidents, there are drunken fathers, there are airplane crashes, there are severe droughts, and there's unemployment. But the Father is merciful, and he hears the orphan's cry and sends the laboring conscience peace and prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies and anoints our heads with oil and our cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Do you believe that? No power on earth, no power in hell is stronger than the love of the Father's heart to us tonight. And what we need to do is fly into his arms. What we need to do is call upon his name and receive his love. Receive his love into this needy and lonely and wasted life tonight. So the question is, will you allow God to give you his father heart? Can you imagine receiving the heart of your father, your heavenly father, and he wants to give you his heart, and he wants you to give him your heart, and he wants to make that exchange. And you know, I'll just tell you something here. It's not necessarily, yes, it is pretty important, so I guess I'll say it. You know what happens to you when you receive the Father's heart, the Father heart of God, when you receive it into your heart and you make that one with your heart, and these two hearts are united into one love, into one fellowship, into one experience, and these two hearts are united together into one. You know what happens when you receive the Father's heart? You receive the Father's law into your own heart. Well, along with the Father's love comes the Father's will, along with the Father's interest in you, along with the Father's compassion and mercy, along with the Father's desire to bless you, comes his Holy Spirit into your life. His perfect will can be done in your heart. And you respond to God in a way that you never thought possible that you could live, because God has loved you, and you have responded to that love. He desires to make us like himself. You see, what God is and all of his father heart and all of his father love and all of his father purity, what the Father is what he wants us to be like. And when he gives us his heart, we can become like him. When we have the heart of God, we are like God. When we have the heart of God, we think the thoughts of God. Though his thoughts are way above our thoughts. We sang tonight, "Direct my work. Inspire my thoughts." Can you imagine God inspiring our thoughts? Can you imagine, preacher, you're sitting down at the desk, you're trying to work on a sermon or a typewriter or a computer or who knows what you've got. And you're trying to write a sermon. And there you are, your pencil's a quivering in your hand, and all of a sudden that pen just stops, and you have nothing more to write. You don't know what text to think about, verse to choose. You don't know what thought to give. You can't think of an illustration. You don't know what to go next to that paper or on that typewriter. But Heavenly Father knows what the people need. Heavenly Father knows who's going to be in the service that night. Heavenly Father knows what the needs are in the pews. Heavenly Father wants to bless that church. Heavenly Father is life for that church. Heavenly Father's interest in those dear people. Heavenly Father knows who's brought to that service. Heavenly Father knows why they're there. He inspires your thoughts. And those thoughts can move you on through, and you bless the Lord, and you say, yes, Lord, I will, and yes, Lord, I'll say it. Yes, Lord, we'll go do that. And every Christian needs to live that way. God will make a new man out of us. He takes that old heart, that hard heart, that cold heart, that stony heart, as we have it there in Ezekiel 36, and takes that old heart out, that bitter heart out, that resisting heart out, that heart that resists daddy and mother and fights against what has happened to me and defends itself and tries to protect itself. That hard heart that does not allow relationships to blend and to flow and pridefully tries to show off and prove how great I am and how good I can do and notice me. God takes that heart out and puts his heart there. His soft and tender heart, his beautiful heart, his humble heart, his lowly heart. His heart of compassion and understanding. His heart of acceptance. He loves you. Comes like that with his new heart to you. Puts it in there. You're a changed person. See, we must allow him to do that tonight. We must allow him to take that heart away and give us another heart, your wounded heart. Your wounded heart. I'm sorry about your wounded heart. I'm sorry about the things that have done it. I'm sorry about the experiences that were against you. I'm sorry. God is sorry. But God wants to do something about tonight. That wounded heart. That heart that has been broken by the terrible experiences of life, and God knows how to heal the brokenhearted. He will send the very spirit of his son into your heart. I just want to ask a couple questions in closing tonight, and then I want you to think about these questions. We're talking about the father heart of God, but daddy's here tonight. Daddy's here tonight. Is there daddy here who does not have the father heart of God? You yourself are not experiencing the father heart of God. How do you expect to share to your children? What is your home going to be like without a father heart in you, daddy, tonight? What do you plan to do about it, daddy? Your children are waiting for you to decide the answer to that. Is there a young person here tonight who has been hurt? But tonight the Father in heaven loves you, and he's offering you that love. Will you receive it tonight, even though your heart has been deeply wounded? Will you receive the love of the Father tonight? Is there a sinner here who needs to return to his father's house tonight? You have wandered away from the father's house. You're out and away and alone. And the father is seeking you tonight. The father loves you and has thoughts for you and plans for your life and has victory and purity for your heart. He's coming to seek you. Will you go and meet him? Will you arise and go to your father? Will you take the first step towards home? Will you get on your feet and take the first step towards the Father? And when you meet the Father, there'll be great rejoicing. When you meet the Father, he'll fall on your neck, he'll kiss you, and he'll hug you. And he'll hold you tight, and he'll take you home. You're welcome to the Father's house. You're welcome to the Father's love. You're welcome to the Father's arms. Come home tonight to the Father. He has a father heart. Let's pray.